We are in part four of Needing Hope, and this one is Hopeful. And let's just quickly recap where we've been. We've talked about the fact between hope as the world does hope and hope biblical. And the way we do hope in the world is our hope is really a wish. We say things like, I hope I won't get sick, I hope I get a good job, I hope that my car doesn't break down, I hope. And we're hoping in things that may or may not happen. So really it's a wish, because it might happen, it might not. So we say, I don't want it to happen, or I do want it to happen. You know, I hope that I win something, or I hope that I get this promotion, whatever. And it's may or may not happen. And when it's uncertain, this hope can lead to worry, can lead to anxiety, because you're like, well, what if it does? Or what if it doesn't? You know, I remember back, you know, 6 years ago when we were applying to get the loan to try to buy the house, I really got good at worry. You know, master's level, doctorate level worry, because I worried that we wouldn't get the loan while worrying that we would. So no matter what, I mean, I had all my worry covered, because I was like, what if we get it? Because, oh my, this is such a big thing, but what if we don't? This is, you know, and wow, that's anxiety. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is trusting in a certainty of God's word, God's promise, that this leads to life. It actually leads to life, and as we see today, peace. It's based on the fact that God, totally different than how anything that man would create, when man creates religion, that God says, instead of saying, okay, here's what you need to do for me, sacrifice yourself, jump through these hoops, do these things, and if you do it good enough, then maybe I'll accept you, that the God of the Bible says, I will come to you, I will sacrifice myself, I will do the work to grant you salvation, to grant you into my presence. And that's so different than religion, which says, here's what you've got to do. God says, let me do it. I'll come to you and bring you to myself. And that is our basis for hope. The fact, and we're going to see that again today. Then last week we talked about the fact that there are two realities that we are living in right now. Corruption and glory. We talked about the fact that many times people say, well, everything happens for a reason. And that sometimes even Christians say that everything happens for a reason. And yet that's a very monstrous statement, because sometimes really bad things happen. We say, well, how could this be a good thing? How would this, it happens for a reason. We said a better statement is there is a reason everything happens. And sometimes that reason is we live in a broken, fallen, corrupt world where bad things happen. And so that the hope of the Bible is that even when broken, terrible things happen, whether it be illness or abuse or disease or accident or just the evil of others, that when these things happen, that our hope is in the fact that that's not the end of the story. That there is going to be a defeat of corruption, a defeat of sin, a defeat of brokenness, and a restoration. That we call that glory. And so we talked about the big phrase from last week from Finding Nemo was just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, because we just keep going. And we're going to talk about that today, because what we're going to see today is, all right, we've got all these pieces now. The sacrifice of God coming to earth, the sacrifice of God giving up himself, our trust in his word, our focus on him, and our struggle with corruption. And let's see how the Bible puts that all together. To do that, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5, if you will turn there with me. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. This may be familiar to many of you. Excuse me. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll unpack it. Let's read through it together. Okay, Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. All right, there's a lot there. So I want to go through it. And part of the reason that we want to go through it, and I want you to go through it with me, is because part of the point of as we do this is I don't want you to just go, all right, tell me what it means. The whole point is that we'll go through it together, and I'm going to show you where it is, help you see it if you don't, so that you can do it without me. Because that's part of the point of you being able to do this yourself and see what God is saying in his word as he speaks to you. So let's start right in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first statement we want to make is this peace with God is not about your emotions. When it says we have peace with God, it's not talking about how you feel. And that's an important one, because sometimes we have this idea of, well, okay, so now I need to feel at peace. And when you feel that you need to feel at peace, feeling at peace can take a lot of work, especially if things are not particularly peaceful. When there's a lot going on, or when your life is churned up, or when there's just a lot happening, peace can be hard. And so then what you have to do, you have to really work at peace. So maybe you meditate, you know, maybe light some candles, listening to beautiful music, or whatever you have, trying to achieve this moment of peace. And even if you get there, staying there is tricky. You know? I had a moment of peace the other day, and then the kids came home. And then the peace was gone again. Because when you have four kids at home, peace isn't really a thing very often. And so this is not a statement of that you have this overwhelming sense of peace. It's, no, this is a cessation of hostility between you and God, which is big because a lot of times we have this sensation of, oh, I had a really bad day today, I had a really bad week, I've had a really bad month, I didn't pray like I should have, I haven't been reading the Bible like I should, I did some things I shouldn't have done. God is probably upset with me. But this is a statement of no, he's not, because the conflict between you and God has been removed. It's been done through Jesus Christ, because Jesus has made your standing with God secure now, and God is no longer upset with you. That's the whole point of salvation, that the animosity between you and God has been removed, because not because of how good you've done, but because of how good Jesus has done, and now you and God are okay. And so this is not an emotional state. This is a statement of you and God are no longer at war. You and God are not on the outs. You say, well, I had a really bad week. Uh-huh. That's why your peace is not based on you. It's based on Jesus. And this is, you are at peace with God, whether you feel like it or not. Now, that's important as we keep going here. You have been justified. You've been made right, not because you have done right. And that's what it says in verse 2, through Jesus. We have obtained our introduction by faith, by trusting, by believing, into this grace, that which you did not deserve, in which now we stand. Now I stand in the fact that I trust God's work, grace. And as a result of that, I exult in the hope of the glory, the fact that now I'm secure into the deliverance from corruption. Into the glory that is God, into the good parts, and the final victory of the good parts. So now, because I've received this introduction by trusting in Jesus through grace, now I stand in that and I exult in the hope for glory, the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, and this is when it gets a little tough, not only this, it says then in verse 3, not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. To exult, to celebrate tribulations? No, thank you. Why would we celebrate tribulations? Well, he explains why. Now, this is important. Why we already started with, our peace is not an emotional state. It is our standing. And that's going to be important because this is not about trying to get yourself to feel a certain way. It's about where you stand, because where your belief is, where your faith is, your trust. And now, because of that, not only this, we can exult in tribulations because we know that these tribulations bring perseverance. Well, what's perseverance? We'll talk about it more in a little bit. But the biggest way to understand perseverance is just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. I say here, it's a state of keeping going. Perseverance just means don't stop. We're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But because I have this hope in God, I just keep going. When I hit hard times, I keep going. And what does that do? This perseverance brings about, it says, proven character. Verse 4. Perseverance brings forth proven character. And here you need to understand that the word translated perfect, proven character, is one word. Proven character. Two words for us. One word in the Bible. One word in the original. This word is proof. It means proof or proven. It can mean ordeal. When you want to test something, what do? You put it under stress. You know, when the banks went bad back in the Great Depression, they gave them a stress test. Now, even now, after the Great Recession, they did stress tests. When they test a vehicle, they put it under stress to see if it will what? Hold up. You test something by stressing it, and it proves it's ready to go. You know, you build something, and then what do? You go. You test it. That's what the word here. He says, so when you encounter tough times, you keep going through that, and that proves where your trust is. It proves what you're holding on to. To say, I trust God when nothing bad happens is simple. And you may or not be actually trusting Him. But when you hit the hard time and you keep going, that proves it. And that's what it means. Perseverance proves that it's real. Sticking with it is the proof. And that brings hope. That brings hope because I stuck with it. It's real. I trust God. And that's why he then makes this very powerful statement in verse 5. This hope does not disappoint. This hope doesn't let you down. Why? Because it survived the stress test. It's real. I actually do trust God. How do I know? Because when it got bad, I didn't abandon. It was real. And then he expresses what that means. Verse 5, he explains. Does not disappoint. Why? Because, what are you trusting in? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, what does that mean? That the Holy Spirit now lives within me, and I got this warmth, and the love of God. Well, that don't work either, right? I mean, try to feel the warm fuzzy. That can take a lot of work and a lot more instrumental music. Trying to feel the love of God. That's not what it means. How is it poured out through our hearts of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit lives inside you once you've trusted Christ. You put your trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. But what does it mean for him to now live inside you, pour the love of God out? Well, he explains it. That's what the next bunch of verses about, 6 through 10, is about him explaining what it means for the love of God to be poured out in your hearts. And just like peace, it's not I just suddenly feel the sense of great love from God. Instead, what does it mean? Verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And then, like we talked about in part 2, this is just how crazy, how different than the human construct that statement is. Because he says, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, meaning someone really good. And then he invokes the Greek and Roman idea of the good man. You know, the once in a generation, once in a lifetime paragon of virtue, the good man. He goes, so one would hardly die for a righteous man. In other words, your garden variety, nice guy. Someone maybe would dare to die for the good man. Okay, he's a man worth fighting for here. But God, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were not the righteous man, not the good man, but sinners, he died for us. That's what it means to have the love of God poured out in your heart. It doesn't mean that you suddenly sense this warm flow and deep inside. It means that you understand in the middle of you that God died for you while you didn't deserve it. That's what it says. Not because you were good or sort of good, but while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. And then he explains the outcome of that, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, having been made right by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. That's from the past looking to the future. Summing up in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now you think about how that plays out so often for us when we take this and we turn the work of God into religion that has been done by well-meaning people far too often. Because a lot of times, especially, you know, us nice conservative Baptist types, I'm saved through faith, and now God has high expectations for you. And I know what you are doing this week. And I don't think he's impressed. You need to get right with God. You're saved because you can't lose that. But he is not happy with you this week. And we have that sense of that, right? We know we're saved, but we feel like God's like maybe not real pleased with us. And that's the opposite of what it says here. Because then you begin to doubt, right? You begin to feel like you and God aren't okay. But he says here, listen, if God was willing to die for you when you were a sinner, what do you think now that he's less in love with you? You go, God, I kind of had a bad week. He's like, yeah, but you do remember that when you had a bad everything, that's when I died for you? So yeah, you didn't have a good week. But it was never about that. Because I died for you when you had a bad everything. And so, because what happens when it becomes about, I had a bad week? Now your hope is resting on your ability to do it. And your ability to do it is pretty poor. Because the work is not based on him, us, but on him. The work is based on his shed blood, justified by his blood, saved by his life, reconciled by the death of his son. And so that brings us, so he says, therefore, verse 11, we exult in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given, we have received reconciliation. And so often we are trying to do this ourselves. We are trying to get this right ourselves. But God knows who you are. God knows how weak you are. You say, God, I had a bad week. What does a test show? It shows what you're made of. Let's apply this. We've received reconciliation, peace with God. Notice he's done the full loop. He's back to verse 1. We have peace with God. Based on what? How good of a Christian you've been lately? Nope. Through the reconciliation purchased on the cross by the work of Jesus. And even when I don't feel that God and I are okay, we are, not because I had a good week, but because Jesus died on the cross for me, and my hope rests in him. Let's apply this. Say it again. Peace is not a matter of how you feel, but your acceptance of God's work for you. Peace is not about how you feel, but your acceptance of God's work for you. And that's tough, because we forget that. And so as a result of that, we exult, we celebrate in three things, in hope, in tribulations, and in God. He said that three times, all right? Verse 2, we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, we also exult in the tribulation. Verse 11, not only this, but we exult in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we celebrate three things, hope, tribulations, and God. Why? Because tribulations prove our trust is in God, which is our hope. I mean, think about it. We have this overinflated idea that we're supposed to be able to do this. But now I celebrate tribulations because it proves that this is real. So let's talk about perseverance for a minute. I told you we'd come back to it. Let's talk about perseverance. Perseverance is not giving up on God's love for you. That's what perseverance is. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Don't give up. God loved you enough to die for you while you were still a sinner. Well, I had a really bad week. Yep. But while you were still an enemy, while you were still helpless. Verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly. So you say, well, I wasn't as godly as I should have been this week. Uh-huh. What is perseverance not? It's not accomplishing things for God. And there's the trap. Because we say, well, now I've got, you know, we kind of see perseverance as like, we're almost like Sisyphus trying to push the rock up the hill. And I just got to keep pushing, and I got to keep pushing. I've got to make sure that I do for God what God has called me to, and if I do it. And we have a whole movement now of people in their 30s and early 40s who are falling away from the faith, and we call it deconstructing. Because they have bought into Christianity as a religion that said you are saved by faith, by grace, but now it's on you. And your rightness with God is dependent on you pushing that rock up the hill. Don't fail. Don't blow it. I have to accomplish things for God. And they burn out. And so after a while, and they do these videos of deconstruction, and they're very, I mean, they're pulling other people out of the faith. These videos are compelling. Why? Because that is a faith. This churchianity is a faith that is very easy to deconstruct, because after a while, it's like, I just couldn't do it anymore. You know why you can't do it? Because you know what you're made of? Dirt. Right? I've used this verse in so many funerals. For he is mindful, for he himself knows our frame. We are but dust. And to dust we shall return. You're made out of dirt. And sometimes we go, God, I'm so weak. And he's like, I know, you're a sandcastle. I built you. Here's my pail, here's my shovel. I was there. I made you out of dirt. I'm so weak. Uh-huh. Been trying to tell you, you're a sandcastle. It's not about what you can do, it's about what I have done. Perseverance is remembering what he's done and trusting to just keep going. Now, will I end up serving the Lord? Will God end up using me? Yes. But only after I just keep going. When I don't give up on God's love for me. When I remember that I am but dust. I started off as dirt. I'm going to go back to being dirt. Humanly speaking. But God died for me while I was still a sinner. And every day, my hope to get through this. And this is what you see. This is what you see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do they say? They go, we don't know what's going to happen today. We don't know if we... I mean, they're standing there listening to the fire roar, and they're like, yeah, this could be it for us. We will die. But we know what's going to happen. Hope as a wish just disappoints, because I thought everything was going to work out different.
I mean, God, I did everything right. God, I served you. God, I gave myself to you. And then bad things happened. I thought I got everything all together and I was faithful. And then things fell apart. Hope as a wish disappoints, but hope based on God's love doesn't, because we look to the future based on God's work in the past. Because it's not focused on what's going to happen to you right here, right now. It's not worried about the corruption of right now. It's, I know what God has done, and therefore I know what God is going to do. And I know He and I are okay. Not because I'm okay. I'm not okay. I mean, look at Job. Job's having a bad life. I mean, he'd been having a good life, and then all of a sudden it went bad. And as far as he's concerned, he's like, I think God is doing this. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's pretty sure God's behind it. And so we find him sitting on a pile of ashes, crying. And he's sick. And he's like, I don't know why God is doing this, and I really don't like it. I'd really rather it stop. But then he makes this amazing statement. Even if he kills me, yet I will serve him. Job, how can you say that? That you think God is letting bad things happen to you, that God is actually causing the bad things, and you're still loyal to him? Because one of the other statements Job says, where he says, even if I die, I know then in the last day, with my flesh I will see him. And the last day I will stand with him. Job says, I don't know what's happening and I don't like it, but I know how the story ends. I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the last day I will stand with him. And that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't know if we come out of this alive today, but we know how our story ends. And that is how we get through each day. We say, I don't like this. Why? Well, because I'm in this stinking world of corruption, and sometimes it hurts bad. And sometimes, like Paul said, the good things that I want to do, I don't do, and the bad things that I said I wouldn't do, I end up doing. Wretched man that I am, who will be free from this body of death? Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through trying harder to be a good Christian. No! Through the work of Jesus Christ. My deliverance does not rest in me. It rests in Him. And He's already proved it. No man has any greater love than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And so I look at God's work in the past and know I can trust Him. And so I just keep going. And I don't always feel peace. And it doesn't look like victory in the short term. But we know the ending. And maybe right now, everything's gone to pieces. Maybe right now your life is not where you meant it to be. It could be economic, could be your job, could be your marriage, your friendships. Everything feels broken. Maybe like Job, you're sitting on a pile of ashes. And you begin to wonder, is God upset with me? Did I do something wrong? God says, yeah, that's not the point. The point isn't, did you do something wrong? The point is, I did something right. Are you trusting in your ability or mine? Just keep going. Don't worry about what you're doing. Worry about what I have done. And when we focus every day on how much you're loved, verse 8, God demonstrated His own love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us much more. Because we were justified by His blood, we'll be saved from the wrath of God through Him. He's not mad at you anymore if your trust is in Him. That's hope. That's what it means to be full of hope. I get it wrong a lot. I have bad days. Thanks be unto God that my ability of righteousness is not what I have to stand on. but on the fact that Jesus came, lived for me, died for me, rose for me, lives for me now. I know how my story ends. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Let's pray. Father, it is hard when it's hard. It's hard when we're struggling. It's hard when everything's going wrong. It's hard when we feel so weak. But we are weak. We are broken. Lord, your servant Paul said that he knew that nothing good lived inside of him, and that even his best attempt at righteousness were just filthy, totally soiled rags. That the best he could do wasn't even good at all. Lord, help us to remember that each day, that we're not sitting there trying to keep you happy. That we're not trying to do great deeds, trying to prove to you that we are faithful, because you tell us when we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. That if we have put our trust in you, if we put our faith in you, that grace, that which we cannot earn, is what saves us. And so we stand secure not in our ability to come to you, but in the fact that you came to us, Emmanuel, God with us, that you came and you did the work, and you finished the work on the cross. It is finished. And now we just have to keep our faith in you and not in ourselves. To each day remember that you have poured out love in our hearts. If we'll just keep our eyes on you. You poured out that love by dying for us when we did not deserve it. Lord, our world is full of measuring everybody's worth, measuring how right or wrong people are, condemning those that are wrong. Lord, the whole planet's wrong. We're all wrong. We are all just clay pots and sand castles. We are the grass that withers, the flower that fades. But our hope is in you. You have promised us more. May we, as we go through the hard times, just keep going, as painful as it is, as much as it hurts, because we know that this suffering is nothing compared to the end of the story. May the song we already sang this morning be true in our day-to-day lives. I know who goes before me. I know who stands beside. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he's a friend of mine, not because of me, but because of you. You laid down your life for your friends. And nothing formed against us will stand. Let us hold on to your promises because you are faithful. May that be the basis of our hope. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.